Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from The Grave Talks. If you're liking this program, I invite you to become a grave keeper. That is a supporter of this program. You are the folks who will financially allow this show to continue going forward. $5 a month gets you access to advanced episodes of the show as I create them. Typically 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, sometimes even more episodes in advance, available exclusively for our grave keeper members. Plus, exclusive interview segments that are not going to be available to the public, only to gravekeepers. Typically an extra 10, 15, 20 minutes of interview time with future guests of our show going forward. It's exclusive content, it's advanced content, and it's only for gravekeepers who are helping to keep the show on the air. It takes a tremendous amount of time every single week for me to put this show together, get it up, get it on the air, have it hosted, bandwidth, all of that. And I love doing it, but we do need to make sure it's financially viable, in at least to support the costs of running this thing. So if you like the show, please consider becoming a gravekeeper through our website, thegravetalks.com or patreon.com/thegravetalks. $5 a month, get advanced access and exclusive content as well to keep this show on the air. Thank you for your support. I hope you enjoy it just as much as I do. Check it out, thegravetalks.com or patreon.com/thegravetalks. And thank you for your support. Today on The Grave Talks, the haunted Anderson Hotel. To many, the sleepy little town of Lawrenceburg, Kentucky may not seem like the ideal setting for a violent ghost story. To others, those who know it, it is the perfect setting for such an encounter. The Anderson Hotel, or to the locals, the haunted Anderson Hotel, is a relic of the past that won't seem to die, even though its doors have been shuttered, reopened, and then shuttered again due to the extreme supernatural activity. In the past years, paranormal investigators have documented violent activity, including aggressive bite marks and a haunted artifact that mystifies researchers. Today, we talk with paranormal investigator Daryl Marston about his experiences with dark and unexplained entities at the haunted Anderson Hotel.
Anderson Hotel kind of fell in my lap by accident when we did the investigation. We'd actually seen it on Paranormal Lockdown on their first season, and we knew Jeff. He was the actual guy who was doing the caretaking and running the paranormal stuff, Jeff Waldrop, out of the building. And so we hit him up and said, "Hey, can we come down?" And he said, "Yeah, no problem." So we came on. Next thing I know, we're in a car driving to Kentucky, and I've never been to Kentucky before at that particular time. So we got there, and when you first see the Anderson Hotel, it's just on a strip. And it's only two stories high. It's not a really big building. It's an historical building. It probably dates back to the early 1800s. But it, over the years, it became a kind of a sleazy hotel, motel, I should say, actually, but it's called the Anderson Hotel, where people were actually staying there and living there on, you know, low budget, people with problems, with drug problems. There was all kinds of stuff going on in the building at the time, all the way up to the late 80s when it actually closed down. So, it kind of started there. I don't know a whole lot about the actual history. I could tell you about a lot of the things that happened in the building, as far as the paranormal activity and people passing away in the building, which the ones we know of. So, I mean, I can take you from there.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about some of the things that have gone on in the building that people have passed away when it was an active hotel or home in some cases towards the end of its active life.
Yeah, it was basically a low income like motel hotel type thing where you pay week to week to stay there. probably, I don't know, anywhere from 75 to 100 bucks a week. And you lived there, you had your own room. You had to share bathrooms. Most of the bathrooms were in the hallways. So you can imagine, you know, maybe 20 people sharing two or three bathrooms. And they had a landlord that actually stayed there, somebody who managed the building. And from what I hear, one of the last guys who actually ran the building was a real ball breaker. He was a real jerk, real nasty guy who took advantage of the tenants of the building. He basically walked around with a nightstick type ordeal, and he would, you know, bang on the doors and threaten them and all kinds of stuff. I could tell you about the one teenage girl that they don't really have her name. That at the time I was there, there was no name to her. She did commit suicide in this one room, and the actual mattress that she committed suicide is still in that room, with the blood stains and everything on it. So it's really surreal when you walk into this building, because what happened was it got closed down in the late 80s. They shut it down, they boarded it up, and it stayed closed up until I think it was 2015, 2016, they opened it back up.
As an active hotel?
No, it's not an active hotel anymore.
No, but
it was up to the late 80s, like 89, I believe it closed, 88 or 89.
I guess my question is, when they opened it back up in 2015, you mean did they just take the boards off the building to go check it out, or did they actually open it as a business of some sort?
Oh, no, the upstairs was still closed off. Downstairs, they turned into like a deli-type bakery where you can actually go in there and eat, sit down. It was a really nice little setup they had going on, but the upstairs was still the original hotel. So when they opened it up, I mean, there was stuff in there that was still there from the 1980s. The beds are still in the building. The furniture is still in the building. It was really surreal walking in there because it's been closed up for 30-some-odd years, and you still have this blood-stained mattress sitting in the bed on the bed frame in this one room with the blood stains, where you could see where she apparently either cut her wrist or did something to that nature, and she bled out. It's very creepy. There's blood stains in some of the bathtubs still that you can see. They actually apparently came in there with luminol and actually tested them to make sure they were blood, and they were blood. So they put some research behind it before they actually went out there and said, hey, this is blood, guys. No, they actually did some research, had some professional come in, test it, and it is blood, and they are the original artifacts to the building. They're still there.
Wow. Was there a reason why all that stuff just kind of got sealed up when they shut the hotel down? I mean, sometimes there's nothing more than the reason to it of just, you know, we're shutting down. We're not going to make money on this. I'm not going to invest my time or money in cleaning any of this up. And we're boarding it up. Or was there something more to sealing this place off as almost a time capsule?
I think it was more of a county or a state issue that came in. They saw the living conditions of the place. They shut them down. The owners, you know, may have went bankrupt. They may have just walked away from the building. And then this other lady came in and purchased the building to turn it into this deli restaurant type situation downstairs. So what she did is, I guess, she decided to open the top part up, and she had Jeff Waldrop come in and start doing the paranormal investigations, because he runs the paranormal tours there. Mm-hmm. Jeff Waldrop from the Nick Rolfe tours, everybody knows who he is. That's who was running it. So it ran for about a year or so, and it's closed down now. I think too much stuff was going on there. It's a very active building. We actually talked to the people downstairs, some of the people who work in the deli restaurant, and they have actually seen apparitions downstairs just walk right across the room. So it's a very active area.
How far into the opening of the deli, when this building gets unboarded and essentially the crypt is opened, did it take for them to start having some sort of activity going on with their restaurant?
Well, I think at the time we were there, the restaurant had been open for about 2 years, and they were getting pretty much from the get-go, from the day they opened. I mean, everybody in there has had some kind of paranormal experience from what we understand. And then when they opened the time capsule upstairs up, it just ramped up. There's some very dark energy in the upstairs part of that building, especially on the one side. It's kind of sectioned off into two sections. When you go up there, when you first walk up this really huge staircase, to the left-hand side, it's dark, don't get me wrong, but the right-hand side of the building is very dark. You feel it as soon as you walk into that hallway. It's just like, it's overwhelmingly, it's just a negative energy there.
When you think about the building and when the haunted activity first, I guess, started getting reported, that would be my question, is when was the first thought process of this, or the first reports of this building having something paranormal going on with it? Obviously, it had been boarded up for so long, then it got opened up into something. Did it start being reported once the bakery went in, or were there reports prior to that?
Yeah, there was reports. It was a folklore type thing around the town that the building was haunted, and you know, everybody kind of knew about it. I mean, it's funny because when we were there, the two times that we went and actually investigated the building, just standing out front of the building, you have people walking by like, "Oh, you guys are doing a paranormal investigation. You're here to see the ghost, aren't you?" Like these are just regular town folk walking around. Like, yeah, watch out for those ghosts in that building. It's weird. But they're like, okay, all right. So they all know about it, and plus it was on paranormal lockdown the first season, so it hit TV and it really blew up, and a lot of people started, you know, really recognizing the building. It's a shame they had to shut it down. I think that the owner really didn't want that kind of publicity anymore because it was getting too much, you know, for them to even deal with. But the paranormal activity there has been known for quite a while, being such a dark location, and everybody knew the stories of people dying at the Anderson, and the murders, the suicides. There's quite a few suicides there as well. There was some black magic, witchcraft, satanic type stuff going on in the building at one point as well, we found out. There's still some artifacts from that still there that they kept. I can explain that a little bit more. Basically, the old landlord or the manager of the building was at some point practicing some kind of black magic. It's something to lure in like a dark spirit, more like a dark witch type thing. Not so much satanic, I shouldn't say, but more of to lure in a dark spirit. And what it was is we found, we didn't find them, but I guess Jeff had found them at some point in the building, these scrolls, like these old scrolls where he'd actually taken wood and scribed in this, all this like satanic witchcraft, like spells and stuff to raise evil spirits. And they were still in the building. I think they found them in a closet originally. So they think a lot of that dark energy came from that, and plus with all the negative things going on in the building.
It would just be a battery for negativity. So just so I understand correctly, you said it shut up now. Does that mean the bakery is gone too? The building is just sitting vacant as a whole, or just the upstairs is not being touched?
Just the upstairs, from what I understand. I have not been back there in 2 years. They actually closed. I think we were probably one of the last investigations in the building.
Okay.
We went twice over like a 3-month period. Because the first time I went, I had too many questions that weren't answered, and I had to go back a second time because so much stuff had happened to me in the building the first time there, and I was just kind of lured back to it. The second time we went there wasn't quite as intense. We had some really good moments, don't get me wrong. We had caught a lot of really great EVPs, had a lot of activity, but the first time was very dark. And the strange thing is, we were walking through the building with Jeff. He was giving us a tour of the building, and, you know, when we first got there, and he's like, he said, "I've not felt this energy in the building since Nick and Katrina were here." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He said, "Something's going to happen tonight. It's you can feel the energy in the building, and you honestly could feel this weird, strange static electricity in the building."
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.